whether I marry or she will change. Issues actually become more magnified when you're married. Ask any married couple in church, they will tell you that. So if you can already see those signs in courtship, don't think it's going to minimize in marriage. It will probably escalate. Because now, no holds barred. He's married to you. There's nothing, you know, understand what I'm saying? So everything just comes down and it gets worse. So please, 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 ladies or men, because ladies still have that problem, don't ignore the one. Don't ignore your red flags. They are deal breakers. Drugs. People that do drugs, alcohol, gambling, fraud, 419, you know, those are deal breakers. They're deal breakers. Okay. Please don't ignore value systems. That's what Jimmy was talking about. Their value system, their belief system. You know, it's important to investigate all those things thoroughly. Are they very conservative? Are you liberal? What's that? You were going to ask?
I was going to say hygiene.
Hygiene is a non-negotiable. Okay. Could you not help them with that?
Yeah, they do themselves first.
Sorry?
It's kind of like changing their kind of Christianity. If they don't want to do it before, why would they do it?
Could that not be a negotiable deal? Could it be, you know, some people, a lady was telling me the other day that a pastor's wife, that she took some girls on a retreat or something, and then she discovered that some of them hadn't been told about using deodorants. Their parents just hadn't told them. Yeah, some people just haven't been told that they have to use that. Could it just be a case of you know, just hinting? You know, have you thought about using, I don't know. Could it be a negotiable? Should that be an absolute? I mean, maybe for you it's an absolute.
It's an absolute.
I think for some.
It's an absolute. It's an absolute.
Could it not be a non, sorry? Buy perfume.
Adverts and things on TV. Take their name. Everybody spray.
Everybody knows, so it's just them. They're just dancing, okay? So that's a non-negotiable. Okay. Whatever works for you. Hygiene. Okay. Okay. Let's move on. So we now can see. So the idea, really, what I wanted to do today was just really get you guys thinking along these lines. I mean, obviously, this list is not exhaustible. So please, know yourself. Know you when you get home, write the things that, you know, written things down now, but try and personalize it. So what do I want? Write things down. Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. Okay, so write down. Write, put things down so that, you know, when somebody comes and they ask for a date, if you can see that there's no compatibility, you won't even go. There's no point going when you can see that she's not in line with what God has told you or what you want in your life. Okay? You're doing well, Mary. You want to sit down?
No,
I'm okay. Oh, there's a very important point I forgot, actually. I was going to talk about romance, you know. It's very important for you to not just love the person. I love him, I love her, that's good. You must like the person. You must be friends, okay? Because it's not, love doesn't sustain a marriage. Friendship sustains a marriage. So if you're not friends, if you don't enjoy each other's company, you know, you can't stand being together in the same room, you know, you can't be together for too long. But you love the person, please don't marry the person. You need love and you need like, both of them together. Because after 50 years, the love might have grown out of, the romance would have grown wings. Friendship, you must like them. You know the way you have, when you're in school, in uni, or maybe secondary school, you had maybe male friends or your friends, like you really, it should be like that. Okay, so don't just say I love him, she loves me. You must like them as people, as a person, as a friend. Very, very important point, because that's what's going to sustain the marriage of the long haul. Okay, so we've talked about non-negotiables. When you've made your choice, or before you make your choice, you know, I always tell people that come and see me, they come and see me after they've been dating a guy, maybe 6 months, or they are even about to get married, and they come and tell us. But at that stage, there's really not much we can say, really. It's very important that, one, in fact, I was going to talk about the policies that we have in King's Court Chapel for singles, okay, which is going to be available for you guys. So if you're a worker or a helper in King's Court, how many workers or helpers do we have? Do I have worker or helper in KCC? Worker or helper? Yeah, worker. Okay, you're not. Okay. So this applies to you. Okay? All workers and helpers in King's Court Chapel must, and please, spread this to your other friends that are not here today. If they're workers, so the ladies that are supposed to come, that they come, please let her know. Anybody that is a worker or a helper in King's Court Chapel must, capital, inform their pastors. From the onset of the relationship. So somebody comes to meet, you don't go out with a guy, you start going out with him and then come and inform us. If you're a worker or a helper, now you're wishing you weren't a worker or a helper. But it's too late. Okay? It's just not the way it's done. Yeah. In the house, you have pastors that are accountable for your life before God. So by the time the guy is coming around you, you're already saying, this is it, man. From the onset, or even before, preferably before, so we can even help you assess him or her. You know, because your pastors can see what you can't see. They can see what you can't see. So please, it's important, it's not even please, it's a policy. If you want us to conduct your wedding, okay, because we've been having people coming up that want to get married, we're going to be having weddings soon. So we thought it's quite important, and people have been getting married and doing things they want anyhow. All workers and helpers must inform their pastors of their relationship from the onset, or preferably before. If you want us to be involved, if you don't want us to be involved, no problem, you don't need to involve us. But if you're saying you're going to want us to join you, to counsel you, premarital counseling, we must know as a worker. So that's just by the way, I'll go through the other things at the end. Okay, so you must do your investigation early. Somebody comes, investigate them thoroughly. Don't just say, they're a believer. What kind of reputation do they have, for instance? Do you know? Do they have a good reputation, you know, amongst people? What do people say about them? Those things are important. Not just what they're telling you, what do people say about them? What kind of reputation do they have? Do they have a reputation as being a player? So, you know, somebody comes to meet you, find out about them, ask around, who knows them? Who can vouch for them? Do they have mutual friends? Is anybody in their workplace that knows them, that can, you know, attest to their character? Find out, because like Eruma was saying, people always, you know, put their best foot forward. They never reveal their true identity. So you must make thorough investigation, okay? Are they ungodly? Are they rude? You know, if she's a lady, is she rude? You know? Find out who can vouch for them. If somebody comes to meet, if you as a woman, say you come to King's Court Chapel, you come and ask me about a guy, or a guy comes to ask me about a girl, and I don't have too much to say. So yeah, what do you think about Sister So-and-so? It is well. Shouldn't you deduce? I didn't say anything bad. I didn't say anything good. I just said it is well. I haven't thought about it very well. You should know that there's something pastor is not saying that could potentially save your life. Don't overlook it. Who can vouch for them? Who can recommend them? You know Ruth, you know Ruth in the Bible. Bible says that Boaz said, it has been reported to me. He had a good report about her. He probably asked around because she was in the field. He didn't know who she was. She had just come down from Moab to Judah. He didn't know her from Adam. He found out that lady. Do you mean that about her? So she came with Naomi. She was very goodly. I heard she really took care of her when she lost her. So yeah, really. So he said, it has been reported to me how you took care of your mother-in-law. That was what sold her. Because Ruth was what? An old cargo. She was young. She had lost her husband. She was in Moab for 10 years, so she was not a young girl, you know, and she still called Boaz just because of her reputation. So find out who can vouch for them. Did they have work colleagues, their pastor, their church friends, people in the same department? Who can vouch for them? Make sure you investigate your choice very, very well. Who do they respect? You can sit down. Who do they respect? Do they respect anybody? Who do they look up to? Who are the role? So in your friendship or whatever, you're asking them, because, hey, do you have any role models? Do you have anybody that you look up to? Who do you respect? Who speaks into your life? Find out. It tells you the kind of person they are. If they don't have anybody that can speak into their lives, for instance, they don't have anybody that they talk to, and please, not just my mommy and my daddy, my parents. There must be other people that they revere, that they respect, that you can report them to if anything were to happen in your relationship, and they will listen. Is there anybody you can report that person to if they go off? And that person, as soon as you mention that person's name, they come back in line. Or they don't have anybody that they revere. Everybody that you must run for such a person. So make sure you do thorough investigations very, very well. Check out their friends. Check out Facebook, telling you how to investigate now, because people say, I don't know. What do you know about him? I don't know anything. What do you know about her? Facebook. Go on Facebook.
Pictures
say 1,000 words. Don't get married in the dark. Do you know what it means to get married in the dark? You've heard of Jacob in the Bible. The Bible says he wanted to marry Rachel, but they gave him who? Leah. He didn't know it was Leah until the morning. So that means that he married Leah and that they brought her deception. That's what I'm trying to say. So I was the one said, "Hey, I thought it was Rachel. Is Leah in the bed?" And that's what happens sometimes. You think it's Mr. Nice Guy. Meanwhile, it's Mr. Monster, because you married in the dark. Check Facebook. It's amazing what you can get from Facebook. Find out, gather information. It's not that difficult to find out things about people these days. Interest, pictures that they put on, the conversations they're having on Facebook. What kind of conversations are they having on Facebook? You know, all those comments, read it. Read how they respond. Read people, look at the people that are their friends. Look at the things that they comment upon. Because sometimes you have some friends that are just way off. When those people put crazy things, do they comment about it? Look at, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Check them out. It tells you what they're not telling you about themselves. Okay? It's very, very important. Pray, like I said. I've talked about praying. I've talked about the guy that was turned into a snake in his dreams, in the girl's dreams. Observe them from afar. That's why it's good to be friends, you know, for a while, colleagues. In the same department, in church, just observe. So if you're interested, observe. By the way, I hope we know as ladies, you're not supposed to go and approach guys. I don't care if it's 24th century. You know that a girl is not, a lady not supposed to approach a man. No matter how interested you are meant to be chased. You're not supposed to be chasing. Okay, you lose value, you lose respect immediately once you do that. Okay, so just observe them from afar. See how they interact with other people. Are they nice? Are they kind? Are they respectful? Do they honor people? Just watch. So you're just watching. They don't even know you're interested. If it's a guy, just watch how. Is he very boys? All over the place. Just watch. Watch him. So that when he comes, you already know. No. He doesn't even know you have information. Watch them from afar. Okay? Go on group events with people. Don't just go on the first date. Go as a group. So in uni, group. Yeah? You're going together as a group of friends to the bowling alley or what have you. Don't go one on one to the cinema and be looking at each other's eyes. Don't do that. Say, just me and you in the cinema. No. Go as a group. Like six of you, seven of you all, you know, go together. Go. You can have fun. You don't have to do it exclusively because you go and do some things you shouldn't do. Okay? So go out as a group and observe how they interact. Can they hold their own at the table when they're having a discussion? Are they confident or are they timid? You know, you're looking at them, you're seeing how they interact, and you pick up things about who they really are. I've talked about accountability, okay? Be transparent with people that you speak to. Your pastors, don't lie. Don't try and present what is not. This is the situation. Let them know what it is so they can counsel you. They can, you know, point your attention to some things that you're not looking at that are important. Don't just, you know, present things that you want them to know. It's very important for you to be very transparent. If you are the only one that is excited about somebody, please be careful. So you share with people that you trust, you know, your pastors, if you have godly, mature friends, and you are the only one excited, please be careful. Okay? I'm not saying everybody has to agree with your choice, but if people are... Now, somebody was telling me, a lady was telling me something that happened to her. Again, I was a pastor. She met this guy. She was in Nigeria. He was here. That's why I have problems with. What do we feel about love over the ocean?
Fluctuating.
Yeah. It's not ideal, is it? But how do you really get to know somebody? He's in Nigeria or Ghana or whatever. You are here. You must spend time. That's how you pick up their idiosyncrasies. If you're not together in the same room, how would you know them? He calls you when he's at his best. Yeah. And he tells you what you want to know. You can't see him when you observe him or her through seasons, different seasons of their life. How do they handle pressure? How do they speak to their siblings? How do they interact with their friends and their colleagues? Very, very important. How do they treat women? How do they treat children? All those things are important. You're going to live with them. So if he's in Ghana, you're here, I don't know how. And then he just comes 2 weeks before the wedding. How? You don't know who you're marrying, really. So that's what happened to her. She came from Nigeria and the guy was here. And she stayed with him 2 months. And the first day she went to church, the guy had been at that church since he was like this high. So the pastor knew him inside out. Knew everything about the guy. He grew up in the church, it was a family church, his mother was there, his whatever. So when she came in and said, oh, she's his fiancé, first of all, he was surprised because, again, the guy hadn't told his pastor he was seeing somebody. So, like, his fiancé. She said, okay. And when she mentioned his name, she said to me that she noticed that the pastor wasn't too excited. Now, your pastor should be excited about you. If you are not, if you are straight, you know, if you're a good person. But the pastor wasn't excited about this person. When she said, oh, I'm so and so's fiancé, because the pastor didn't know who she was, he went quiet. And she was now saying to me that should have been her warning signal. She should have really wondered why the pastor was quiet or silent about somebody that he knew. I mean, it was like, you know, his son, more or less, grew up in the church. Now, after they got married and all that, they eventually got married, had a child. When I saw her, she was just bumped into her. She had come to King's Court Chapel once and she just left. So I, you know, that was how I remembered her. I said, how are you? So how's your husband? Because she came with a guy when they came to King's Court Chapel. They were thinking of leaving that church and they came to King's Court. I said, how's your husband, your child? I remember you talking about. She said, oh, we're not together anymore. So what happened? I said, what happened? I said, where are you now? Where do you stay? Oh, I'm in the shelter. In the shelter? What happened? I said, I'm in the shelter. I didn't realize that I had mental problems. Mm-hmm. So these are real life examples. That, you know, someone would say, make the right choice. It's not God that chose that man. She chose him. But there was a sign. Maybe God was still trying to just save her from... The sign was the pastor wasn't excited. And she should have checked it out, she should have followed up with that and said, Pastor, can I come and see you, officer? Why was it that you were being quiet when I mentioned, do you understand what I'm saying? But she ignored it. So I'm in a shelter. I said, you're in a shelter somewhere in Bletchley, somewhere in shelter. I said, hiding from him. That, you know, she didn't realize that he had mental issues. So the pastor, obviously, knew the boy from when he was this high, knew the guy had mental problems. So when she mentioned him, he wasn't excited because he was wondering, does she know who she's marrying? Does she know? I mean, if you know and you're able to handle it, fair enough. But you're coming from Nigeria and you arrived 2 weeks before the wedding. How are you going to know this person? You've been talking over the phone. Or you went to school together, you went to same secondary school. People say, oh, went to same secondary school 20 years ago. And you think the person you met 20, 15 years ago is still the same person that he is today? Come on, be real. These are the poor choices that people make and the reasons why people get hooked up. So she said, she was not blaming the pastor. Why did the pastor tell pastor? Why did the pastor tell? I said, did you ask the pastor? Did you ask him when he was quiet? Did you inquire for that? He doesn't owe you any explanation. Really. You just came and said, I'm so busy. You didn't come in the attitude of pastor. Did you ask the pastor why he was quiet? You didn't. So you can't blame the pastor. So she was running all over not taking kids with her daughter. Because this guy, you know, he was very violent with his mental, get violent, bitter, and almost killed her. So she had to run for her life. But everybody knew. The mom, his mom knew. They said, even the mom didn't tell me. I said, why would the mom tell you? So really, why would the mom tell you? You know, so please guys, don't ignore warning signals. Seek counsel, speak to your pastors. If you're the only one excited, if you speak and, you know, if you share with people that you trust, and be cautious. And even if you're not going to call it off, at least slow it down. Until you're sure. Don't just go ahead and say, I'm convinced. It's not as simple as that, please. I love him. He loves me. No. It's not as simple as that. Another thing I wanted to say, please, ladies, especially when you're about to meet, don't just say, I have peace. How do you know it's God's plan, it's God's choice? I have peace. If I was to get a pound for each time I hear, I have peace. Video, yes. Peace is a good indicator of God's presence, of God's leading. Bible says he will lead us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed upon him. But please, you need, that also says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall a thing be established or confirmed. So when you have peace, that's good. You have peace about the guy, you don't have any. Go and get about two or three, at least another witness. Pray, get a word. Get people that are mature believers to pray along with you. Not your friends that want you to marry, or even your parents. Because our parents want us to marry, you know, when you get a certain thing, they really want you to marry and marry like yesterday, so they will say it's God's will. So get people that you trust. People that probably don't know the person. So they don't even know the person concerns. They're not biased in what they're telling you. I met this person. Please, can you pray along with me? Whatever the Lord is on your heart, can you let me know? So you're just confirming your choice, okay? So get a word. Let God speak to you from his word. If God is interested in every area of your life, how would not be interested in who you're going to spend the rest of your life with? He will speak to you, he will guide you. So don't just say, I have peace. Get a word. Get your pastors involved. Get people that are mature believers that pray and hear God to pray along with you and confirm your choice. God can speak to you through a dream, but please, dreams are very, very, very subjective. The amount of times people say, I saw myself at the altar, I was wearing a wedding gown, and it was I was standing and he covered me with his jacket. So he's wearing his jacket. He covered me. I said, look, if I think about Uchi throughout the day, when I sleep, I would dream about Uchi. Out of the multitude activities of the day, does the dream come? So dream is not, if you think about him, you daydream, you have nightmares, you have all sorts of dreams, and you will see yourself at the altar. So I'm not saying God cannot speak through dreams, he does. But it's very subjective. Get another confirmation. Get two or three, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall a thing be established or confirmed? Okay, I think I've covered. I was going to say that there was a case I'm thinking about. I'm just remembering all the cases I've had in the past that have been very, very pathetic. There was a lady that came to see me years ago. She's no longer in this church, and she's going to get married. And she wasn't excited. And I said, if you are the only one that is excited, there's a problem. If you are not excited, there's a problem. Okay? That's an indication that you are probably not making the right choice, because you should be excited. She wasn't excited about getting married. And you know why she was getting married? She was getting married to the guy out of pity. And family, one of the things we said were wrong reasons. Family, their families, the mother, their parents knew each other, they felt it was a good idea. And she had known the guy for a very long time, they grew up together, and you know, they ended up getting, and she just felt it was a good idea. But she knew she didn't love him, she didn't respect him, she wasn't excited, and she still went ahead with the wedding. I wonder where they are today, if I need to follow up on her, find out. Because you could just see the signs that it wasn't going to last. She wasn't excited, and she kept telling me, I feel trapped. I said, you are trapped, and you're not yet married. So what's going to happen after you get married? So don't ignore things like that. Don't just say, because I'm 40. I have this feeling, but I'm 40. Maybe I'll have a ring. It's better than being single. No, it's not. You can be married and be in prison, and you have the ring. So please, don't just make decisions based on desperate situations. Make sure that the guy that you're going to marry or the guy you're going to date loves God more than he loves you. It's not enough for them to love you. Their love for God must be more than the love they have for you. Do you get that? God first. They must be passionate about God. They must love God with utter abandon. And then, because if they love God and they fear God, they will do right by you. Do you understand? If they love you and they don't love God, they will mistreat you. But if they love God, they fear God, their love for you is guaranteed. Okay? And not everybody that comes to church that loves God. I hope you know that. So don't just say he comes to church or she comes to church. Weigh their fruit. Look at their fruit very, very well. When you speak with them, what are they excited about? Okay, any questions? Any questions? You don't have any questions, I've covered everything. I'm sure you must have one or two. I haven't touched everything. No questions? Okay.